Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, kiddos, here we go. Headlines 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, brought to you by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
You're crazy, man. I like you.
Mariners back at it tonight, 3 at the Rangers. Chris Flexen against Mike Fultonevich tonight in game number 1. LJ Newsome will go tomorrow, and Justice Sheffield will pitch on Sunday. First game back for the M's after getting no hit by John Means on Wednesday.
In the NBA, Lakers reportedly will get LeBron back from ankle injury next week, but they lost AD to back spasms last night as he had to leave the game against the Clippers in the first quarter. And Warriors forward Kelly Oubre has torn ligaments in his wrist, fractured his left hand. He may miss the rest of the season.
That doesn't sound good at all. No. Pelicans forward Zion Williamson, fractured left ring finger. He's going to be sidelined indefinitely. And one note in the NFL, the Eagles have claimed former Lion running back Kerryon Johnson off of waivers.
Manchester United owners, the Glazer family, say that they are open to part fan ownership of the club following the on-field protest last week and canceled their match with Liverpool.
So, wait a minute.
That canceled.
Let me just hear that story again. So you're saying that because Manchester United pissed off their entire fan base and they want new ownership, the Glazer's response is, okay, you hate us, but here's a part of the team.
Yeah, how about we give you 2% of the
Holy
team.
Cow. Well, that reminds me of the time I rode a bike to Pullman, Washington in the summer of 1998 to pay off my bet. And I got to the Coug and they were throwing stuff at me. Eggs, ding-dongs, chickens, turkey sandwiches, meatballs, batteries,
sounds
all kinds
good.
Of stuff. Well, yeah, for them. When you're getting hit in the head with it, it doesn't feel so good. And I said to the Cougar fans at the bar, I said, all right, how about this? To get you Neanderthals off my back, I'll buy you 67 pitchers of beer. How's that? They went nuts. So I wonder if this will work in London. I mean, Manchester United, that fan base is as rabid as any fan base of any team in the world. Will this get them off their back?
No way. No fan is going to accept this.
They're offering ownership of the team. I mean, if you went to a Man U fan and said, hey, the Glazers are going to do something for you, they feel bad, they might say, hey, they're going to give us a scarf, right? No, they're going to give you a piece of the team. I don't know. That's a hell of a call, man. I mean, has there ever been an ownership group in the history of sports that has reacted to negative press the way they have with that for an idea? How about
not
a piece
like
of
that.
The team? How about
well, it? Kinda, It kind of almost sounds like a little bit. I know the Sounders don't offer ownership of the team, but they offer voting power, right, Jackson?
Yeah. For the GM, right. Council, yeah.
To vote out the GM if they want to.
Right. There is that aspect. But Manchester City fans with a 2% of the team, no, they want the Glazers to sell 100%.
This is Man United, not Man City. Is that
correct?
Sorry,
Man United.
Yeah. But can the fans vote on Schmetzer's job too?
No.
Or just Lagerwood?
Just the GM.
Okay, got it. Because it's Jackson's birthday today. How old are you, by the way?
29.
Ooh. God.
Yeah.
You know what?
Getting
I thought
close,
you were,
man.
I got to be honest with you. I thought you were way older than that. I thought you were like 48, to be honest with you. I'm shocked.
41?
Maybe
scary.
It's working on this show that's just made you look like that. I got no freaking idea. But congratulations.
41
years. We got to save that for at least 12 more years.
Jackson, you got to stick on the show for 12
years.
Oh,
and then you're out the door. We're going to play that for you and you're fired. So we had some fun in the opening segment. We had these fake soccer IDs from stars around the country: Franz Beckenbauer, Pele, David Beckham, Mia Hamm. And I got to play this off my phone because I literally just got this like 2 seconds ago.
Oh,
by the
awesome.
Way,
awesome!
This guy wants to say something to you.
What?
Softy Brian Schmetzer here. Oh, thanks for the heads up. Important day today for all sports fans in the city of Seattle. It's Jackson Felt's birthday. As I was thinking about this day, this very important day for everybody in the United States, the world, I did a little research, and I was doing a little digging on Jackson, and here's a photo of him. I think he was getting injured in the press game for the Seattle Sounders press corps a while back. Anyway, happy birthday, Jackson. Take care. Don't get injured. Peace.
Aww. How about that? So there is a video that is attached to this, and I am going to ask if we can share this. But Brian Schmetzer, this goes to show you how influential this guy is. Brian Schmetzer knows if he doesn't wish Jackson Felt a happy birthday, he may not have him on his side when bad things potentially may happen to them. They need you. They need you on that
wise.
Role.
Honestly, like I'm actually like emotional hearing that.
No kidding, you are. I'm shocked to hear that.
I think you might have might have Jackson emotional about this.
Would you like a couple of seconds to take a timeout, maybe, and kind of collect your thoughts if you need it, man? Go for it. I got no problem with that. Yeah.
I can't breathe.
Are you good now, by the way? Are you good?
I literally can't breathe right now, James Riley.
That's going to stay, honestly, that's going to stay with me for a while. Like, that is a guy that I idolize. Like, I would jump in front of a bus for that man.
Wow.
What he has done for this city and that team and this community.
Wow.
His impact on the soccer world here in Seattle, it's immeasurable. So to hear that, words can't describe what that means.
He's the most decorated coach in Seattle professional sports history.
Yes.
Period.
For sure. Yeah,
period.
Sure.
So, So, thank you for that moment, because I'm going to treasure that for a long time.
One more thing, by the way, that we haven't told you about, to accompany the video.
What?
One more thing. Brian Schmetzer would like to invite you to a sleepover at his house. He had one foot out the door to go home and get his sleeping bag.
Oh,
he wants to bring his binky.
His jammies were half on, man.
He wants to bring his Yoda jammies with him and his binky.
Yoda, it's James Kirk.
Sleepover at Brian Schmetzer's place.
Oh, my God.
There's no chance he would ever allow that.
No.
Because he would not be able to sleep the entire night knowing that you were
Brian,
in his house.
Brian.
He's waking him up at 4 in the morning asking about formations and this and that. Dude, would you go to bed for crying out loud? All right, 409. We had something coming up. I totally forgot. Oh, yeah, the Vegas odds on the Super Bowl.
Additions and subtractions.
Well, here's what we got to do, because we got to get somebody on from the book, Jackson and Vegas, really. So if you want to kind of work on that, you know, part of your 10 minutes of time that you actually spend working on this radio show during the week, if you could take three of them and get somebody on next week from a book in Vegas that can jump on the air and explain to us why the Hawk odds are what they are, I think it'd be great. You said, 28-1 to win the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and the Niners and Rams are 14, and the Cardinals are 33. Is that right?
Yeah, the Rams are 12, the 49ers are 14.
So the Seahawks are a lot closer to fourth place in the West than they are second place in the division. So I think we get somebody on from Vegas. I mean, maybe somebody down there thinks the Russell Wilson thing is about to explode, and he's not going to be here. Maybe they believe that Bobby Wagner's getting old. He'll be 31 in June. He's got a tail off. Maybe they look at, you know, Carlos Dunlap. He's 33 in February. At some point in time, he's going to fall off. I don't know. I just look at, like, Mike Tomlin, for example. And I know that Carroll hasn't done this yet in Seattle. He's been here, 11 years? Is that right? 10, 11 years?
This will be his 12th
year
season,
in Seattle.
Yeah.
Correct. Mike Tomlin has had 5 years where they won 9 games or less, and 4, I believe, where they won 8 games or less. Meaning at some point it's going to happen. At some point it's going to happen to Pete Carroll. Now, it hasn't happened yet, and you can argue, well, if it hasn't happened yet, how do you know it's going to happen?
Why does it have to happen because it happened to Tomlin?
Because it happens to everybody. I'm just giving you an example of one guy. I mean, you think Pete Carroll coaches here for 15 years and never goes 8-8 ever? Ever? Would you put money on that happening?
Well, it didn't happen to Parcells until he had no quarterback.
Well, I mean, guys get hurt, though. That's part of it, right? I mean, that's part of knock on wood.
They could absolutely go 6-10 if they didn't have Russell Wilson.
I think if you're Vegas and you look at the age of the football team, you look at what happened a year ago with them falling apart, at some point history is running up against them, and they will have a year like that. I'm not saying it's going to happen now. I would bet money it happens at some point for Pete Carroll. And when it does happen for Pete Carroll, I would think there's also a chance that might be his last year ever in Seattle. He might save that till the end, right? I mean, Mike Holmgren's worst year was his last year, right? In 2008.
Where he was just obliterated.
When they went 4-12 and everybody fell apart. So, I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there to partially explain maybe why Vegas is thinking what they're thinking. But we'll get somebody on.
I just look at what they've added and what they've subtracted, and I don't know how you can make an argument that this team is worse. I mean, they've subtracted. Correct. Make an addition if I miss somebody.
All right.
Jaron Reed is clearly the biggest subtraction.
Well, Shaquille Griffin,
I think would be 2.
Yep.
And then Greg Olsen, Jacob Hollister, Mike Iupati. Who am I missing?
Nobody.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
And you've added Gabe Jackson.
Right.
Kerry Hyder.
Right.
Gerald Everett.
Yep.
Alden Smith.
Yep.
Dwayne Eskridge.
Yep.
Trey Brown and Akella Witherspoon.
Well, some of those guys mean nothing, though. I mean, Alden Smith means nothing.
Well, so did the last three subtractions I mentioned.
Well, yeah, but you're also forgetting the fact that you got a Russell Wilson situation where he'll be 33 in November, and he was also pissed off of the football team. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just trying to explain why Vegas thinks the way they do. But we'll get somebody on the air. We'll get somebody on next week and find out why the Hawk odds are where they're at, because I like him at 28-1.
Absolutely.
$100 on him, walk home with $2,800. That were $280 if for on a $10 bet. You kidding
me? Absolutely.
Fine. I'll take the $5 I owe Jackson and bet it on the Seahawks. We're going to break. 4:13. Little fun with audio. Slash, hey, did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Coming up next on 950 KJL.
And one app.
Hi, this is Pam Feltz, Jackson's mom. You're listening to Sports Radio 950 KJR AM and KJR FM HD2 Seattle.
I love it. Happy Mother's Day, all the moms out there, all the guys out there, gals out there. Don't be schmucks. Go take care of mom on Mother's Day. Lakeland Village has free golf for mom, by the way, on the website, lakelandvillagegc.com. You can book on the website. Beautiful golf course out there in Allen, Washington, in the Kitsap Peninsula. Take mom to play, and she will play for free on Sunday. All right, here we go. Quickly becoming my least favorite segment of the week on the radio program. Oh, I hate doing this. I think it sucks. I think it's terrible radio. I can't stand it. All of it.
You're lying.
No, I love it. Are you kidding me? I love this segment.
I love it
when Jackson can deliver with quality audio clips. I love it.
How good is this one, Jackson?
When they're stupid and boring. You see there? You see? He's already bringing the expectations down.
Undersell, over-deliver.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see in about 20 minutes if you did exactly that or if it was better maybe or just as bad as you said it was going to be. So let's get to it. We start, by the way. Oh, sorry. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Thank you. Last night in Tacoma, Jared Kelenic. Homering not just once, but twice in his AAA debut for the Rainiers.
Make sure that's right. Here's a drive to right. This is it. Well, it's deep. It's back, and it is gone. A line drive home run to right field off the bat of Jared Kelenic, just turning on the 3-0 pitch and drilling it, just roping it over the low wall in right field. And Kelenic gives the Rainiers a 1-0 lead. Kelenic is fired up, and this pitch is a swing and a drive to right, and he has done it again. His second home run of the game, and this one lands well out of here to right field towards the hill headed up towards the tennis courts. He's been the sole source of offense today. Kelenic, in his AAA debut, has gone deep twice.
How about Colonel laughing when the second ball took off for the outfield wall?
Could not,
just thought it was unbelievable. And then he's pumping his fist as he's rounding third base. I think we should do a contest here on this radio station.
What's that?
Because, well, let me ask you this. And I don't want to put a lot of pressure on Jared Kelenic, but I think at least first ballot Hall of Famer, don't you? Okay.
Anything less than that is a disappointment.
All-time home run king, RBIs, he's going to hit 350 for his career. How about we do a contest, pin the tail on the day he gets called up to the Major League roster. And the tiebreaker will be the time the press release comes out. Like, it may come out from somebody else, like, ahead of time, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to know the day he plays in his first game as a Mariner, and the tiebreaker is the time that the press release from the M's gets let go on that day. Now, I'm not saying we have to do it right now. We got to come up with a prize.
Yeah.
Which means one of us has to find a prize. Maybe it's a Jared Kelenic autograph baseball. Maybe it's a jersey. You got a prize you want to throw
in?
Well,
I do.
What do you got?
I got a cooler from my friends at Cutwater.
Okay. All right. Can we do that?
Sure.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
Cutwater Spirits, baby.
I'll tell you what. How about this? On Monday, we'll just wait till then. We'll build a little something on the website. We'll do it official. And we'll do a contest to decide when Jared Kelenic plays in his first game as a Mariner. And the tiebreaker is what time the press release hits our inbox. Is that cool with everybody?
That sounds great. Because,
right.
I mean,
because he's coming up.
It's going to be sooner rather than later. This is not a contest that's going to last, you know, multiple months, probably.
No, I mean, I think it's going to happen this summer, right? I mean, if not early summer, then at least late summer. It's going to happen before the Seahawks season starts.
Oh,
I would assume, right? All right, so stay tuned for that. How about that for an idea off the top of my head? You see, that's what you pay for. That's what you pay for here. All right, what's next? No, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong segment. Dick, did you? Holy crap. I'm telling you, man. I'm losing it. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Richard Sherman joined First Take on ESPN earlier this week and discussed a reunion with the Seahawks if there's any bad blood with anybody in the organization.
It would be a little different than the good old days. You know, there's two people that aren't here from the Legion of Boom, but, you know, it's always in the cards. I spend my entire offseason in Seattle. That's where I live. That's where my family is. So it's never out of the cards. You know, obviously, Pete and I have had conversations throughout the offseason. It just, everything needs to shake out right. They're still figuring things out. I'm still figuring things out. But it's definitely not out of the cards. You know, it's no bad blood there between them and I. And it's a cool opportunity.
Okay, so first of all, the question was, it would be like old times. He said, well, not really, because Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor aren't there. So that's what he meant by that. And then number two, I heard Puck and Slick talking about this, and Puckett's take was, well, of course there's no bad blood. He wants a job. Of course he's going to say that. And I just, I don't know. I never felt like there was bad blood from the first place when he left. I mean, the Seahawks told him to come back with any offer he got, right? And he did that. And the Seahawks just decided not to match it, and he went on to play for the 49ers. So I don't know if there truly really was bad blood between the two sides. Do they even discuss the offer Richard got from the Niners before he signs it? I don't think so.
No. Yeah. I don't think there ever was. I believe John Schneider when he says that there was no bad blood and it was all overblown. And, you know, the one thing I am a little bit surprised with is that the Seahawks didn't decide to match the offer because the offer wasn't that big.
Very team-friendly. Well, but again, remember, he was coming off the Achilles injury.
That's correct.
And so they probably thought at that point he was done. And I don't think you need to have bad blood to say, you know what, knowing your personality, if you can't start for us and be the leader of that group and give us 16 games, that it may not be the best situation for you and for us to be in. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean there's bad blood. It just means it doesn't fit anymore. Right?
He made $8.8 million his first year with San Francisco. And remember, these were not all guaranteed. I mean, if he would not been able to play, the Seahawks wouldn't have had to pay this money. He earned $12.9 in 2019, and he made $12.9 in 2020.
So his first year with the Niners was 2019, is that right?
2018.
18, okay. And
yep,
what did they?
$8.8.
So the Seahawks lost to the Falcons that year? Who'd they lose to?
God, they lost to the Cowboys.
So the Cowboys. Okay, in a relatively close game.
Absolutely.
If they had Richard Sherman
could have made
is it
difference.
Possible they would have won that game?
Yes.
And played in the second round? Maybe, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think there is bad blood. I think the best news, honestly, out of this whole thing for me is this. That the idea that Richard Sherman's never going to come back, he's never going to be in the Ring of Honor, he's never going to raise the flag, he's never going to wave his hat and kiss babies and be a part of the organization again from a community perspective, that's nonsense. He absolutely down the road is going to come back and be a part of this thing when it makes sense. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
On Saturday, Alabama long snapper Thomas Fletcher was drafted by the Panthers in the 6th round of the NFL draft. Carolina head coach Matt Rhule called Fletcher before the pick to share the news. Check this out.
Hey, Fletcher, what's up, bro?
What's up, brother?
You coming or what?
Trying to figure it out right now.
No. I just drafted you. You coming or what?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, bro.
No, you did not.
Yeah. Welcome to
Carolina. Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Welcome to Carolina Panthers.
Dude, chill out, brother. Dude, I cannot wait to help you win, man. I cannot wait to help you win.
I love it.
I'll walk my happy ass to Carolina right now, dude. Golly, dude. Thank you.
Dude, I caught a little Hulk Hogan in there. Thanks, brother.
Is it possible that he didn't know who Matt Rhule was? When Matt Rhule
like
called him,
he thought
him
it was
up.
Like a buddy of his or something.
I don't know because he acted like he had no idea what the hell was going on. Clearly, when he said, "Are you coming?" and he said, "I don't know, I'm trying to figure it out." Like, if you know that the coach of the Panthers is on the phone, that's not what you're saying unless you're totally confused.
And usually, all those parties, as soon as the phone rings, the room just erupts.
Exactly.
When they see the area code of the team that's about ready to draft.
Well, is it possible that Matt Rhule was using a Waco, Texas phone number from his days in Baylor?
Absolutely could be.
Because I'll tell you this, Mike Holmgren still uses a Cleveland number when he calls people. And he hasn't been there for like a decade. I mean, that should be a rule, don't you think? That when a guy, GM, coach, whatever, calls a draft pick, they should call from a phone with the area code of the team that's drafting the player. End of story. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
All right, pick between 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. Tell me, which one?
5, 6, 7, 8. 6 is good.
Michael 6 is good. All right, last weekend on the NFL Network, former Seahawk fullback Michael Robinson sent a message to Aaron Rodgers about being disgruntled in the Packers organization. Here's M-Rob.
What the hell are you talking about, man? What you mad at? What are you so disgruntled about? Because last year, a team, which again, you know the brass is always concerned about the organization, not just Aaron Rodgers, okay? Because they drafted a quarterback of the future. And what happened was it lit a fire under you. You became the league's MVP. It didn't seem like you needed any more firepower on the outside. You was the league's number one scoring offense. What do you want? You won 26 games over the last 2 years and only lost 6. Okay, so, and you've been to 2 consecutive NFC championships. So you're just mad because of competition? Man, get the hell out of here, man. You better than that. All right, keep winning your MVPs and go win a Super Bowl. Don't worry about who's behind you. I said my piece, Jeezy.
I mean, I don't even know what to say to that. I don't think Michael Robinson knows what Aaron Rodgers is mad about. I don't think Terry Bradshaw knows. Unless I'm totally not hearing him right. He said, are you afraid of the competition? That to me insinuates that he thinks Aaron Rodgers is upset that they brought in a guy that's trying to beat him out for the quarterback job. Which is no way in hell what Aaron Rodgers is mad about.
No, he doesn't think he's going to lose his job to Jordan Love. Just the fact that they did bring in a quarterback is what pisses him off.
Right, because they could have used that pick on somebody else.
Yes.
They could have helped the football team.
Well, and also just kind of his foot out the door, too, for Aaron. It's a slap in the face, basically, is what he sees. It's not, he's not afraid of Jordan Love, but it is, he doesn't like the slap in the face that the ownership and the general manager gave him with that pick.
I don't know, what am I missing? Because Terry Bradshaw said the same thing. Maybe we're missing the boat. Maybe he is thinking he's going to get beat out by Jordan. I don't know why the MVP of the NFL would be concerned about Jordan Love from Utah State, who's done nothing. He looks at that spot and says, wait a minute, man, we lost the NFC Championship game. What would have helped us more? A wide receiver in that spot who could have played in that game, or a backup quarterback sitting on the sideline doing nothing. As long as you, and look, I think Jordan or Aaron Rodgers, Dick, I'm totally for everybody calling him a crybaby, a malcontent, all that stuff. I think it's great. But if we look at this in a vacuum, he's pissed off because he's 38 years old. He won the MVP. And instead of giving the guy every possible bit of help they can give him to win the conference, they gave him a backup quarterback that's doing nothing.
Well, I guess you could put it as while he doesn't think he's going to get beat out by Jordan Love, he could get replaced at the end of this year by Jordan Love because Aaron only has a $17 million dead cap charge, which means that Jordan Love in 2022 could be the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers are only paying their quarterback position like $20 million.
Well, then why did they draft Jordan Love if he can't replace Aaron Rodgers? I mean, that's exactly why they drafted him, right?
Right, right.
So, I don't know, man. I mean, I get all the Rodgers hate. I'm totally with you. He's kind of a putz and comes across as a little bit of a jerk, to be honest with you. But I think a lot of people are missing the boat on this particular angle. All right, let's get to number 9. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
In a press conference this week, Lakers star LeBron James discussed the importance of seeding in the NBA playoffs, including his thoughts on the league's new play-in tournament.
It doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not, 100% close to 100%. It don't matter, where we land, So, that's my mindset. And, if this happens to we end up at 6th or 5th or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
So there's a play-in game for the 8th seed, right? But the teams
for the 7th and 8th seed.
Right, but the teams have to be within a certain amount of games. Like, I think, did they do it in the Eastern Conference a year ago or just in the West? I think it was just in the West.
Think it was.
Okay, so he's mad about that. He's mad about the whole play-in idea.
Which is slightly ironic because I have a quote here from LeBron James from last year. Would you like to hear the quote from the Road Trippin' podcast in March of 2020? Yeah. These are LeBron James' words. You got Portland, you got Memphis, New Orleans, and Sacramento tinkering around there. So if there's 5 or 10 games left, why not let those guys battle it out and make them play each other in all five games? Now,
Are you kidding me?
That's not technically the play-in game, but it is a play-in scenario that LeBron James threw out there 14 months ago.
So is he mad about the actual format of the play-in scenario or the play-in scenario itself? Now, that would have been a natural follow-up if
you
were
down
there.
I don't think the people that are interviewing me knew that he said that a year ago. That was dug up after the fact.
But even so, I mean, I would have loved to have had somebody say, you know, is it the format? Would you like a different format? Do you not like that? I mean, I think it's great. I think the more teams you can get involved and more cities you can get involved in the playoff discussion, because let's face it, you know, the 6, 7, 8 teams, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, they're not going anywhere anyway. In the playoffs.
Right.
Not a chance of going anywhere. What was the Heat seeded a year ago when the playoffs began?
6.
Where were they in the...
I want to say they were 6.
They were 5th.
5th, okay.
And they went to the NBA Finals.
Yes, they did.
So every now and then it happens. But, you know, if you can get more teams and more fan bases excited about the postseason and watching more basketball instead of focused on the lottery, then why not do it? I mean, Bud Selig is a boob, but one of the greatest things they ever did was expanding the postseason in baseball.
Yes, and I would watch those play-in games where I would absolutely not watch the last couple games of the regular season if they didn't mean something. And baseball's got to do something similar. I mean, I've got to see some sort of play-in situation, a longer playoffs where more of those 162 games actually mean something.
Well, they are doing that, right? They're the same format as last year where they're letting more teams in, aren't they?
No.
They ditched it for this year?
They just did it for last year.
Wow. Yeah. See, this is what happens when your team is terrible.
Yeah, you don't even care. You don't even care what the format is.
It's sad. Let's get one more. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dick?
All right, we got a quick one from Stephen A.
Who was on crack?
After the Knicks win on Monday night, clinched the team's first above 500 season in 8 years, Stephen A. Smith celebrating on Twitter.
The New York Knicks. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Did you see it? Did you see? You see Julius Randle, MVP candidate Julius Randle, dropped 28 tonight. I'm talking about the New York Knicks, who, by the way, got a better record than LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. You think? You better ask somebody. What did I tell y'all? What did I tell y'all? It's a new day. It's a new day, okay? It's a new day. New York Knicks. We coming. We coming. All right, Spike Lee. And the crew getting ready. Playoff time, y'all. It's a new day. The pass is a pass. We're going to leave the pass in the pass, okay? It's about right now. It's about right now. New York, stand up. New York, stand up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do they have a shot of doing some damage in the postseason?
They can win a round. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
They can win a round.
How insufferable is that guy? How insufferable is he going to be if they make the conference finals?
Oh, God.
Who was on crack?
It's been a good year for Stephen A. Smith. The Cowboys' demise and the rise of the Knicks all in like a 12-month period. I mean, he is sitting pretty right now.
I miss it, man. I miss the NBA. We got to get it back, baby. 440, testimonials, 49451 on the Coors Seltzer text line. Lots to go over, and then Hugh Millen joining us at 520 on 950 KJR.
You guys had what?
Ability and pricing may vary.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Hugh Millen will join us.
What's that, Dick?
At 520 on the radio show. I'll get his thoughts on Richard Sherman's comments that you heard in Fun With Audio today, talking about a reunion with the Seahawks. Stats are for losers, by the way.
Stats are for losers.
I believe the first time ever, at least for me, a Shohei Ohtani reference in Stats are for Losers at 545 tonight. And then Savon Ahmed. Last week, it was another former Husky playing for the Dolphins and Miles Gaskin. Tonight, Savon Ahmed joins us on the radio show at 6 p.m. So lots to get to on a busy Friday. 49451. We call it testimonials every day at 445. We do this. We have a talking robot do it for us for free because we're too damn stupid and lazy to read these texts ourselves, and we can't pay any labor fees or union dues. So we have Texty, our talking robot, take care of the text line. 49451, what do you got?
Please put me on with Softy. I'm a little disgusted he doesn't know who Christian Pulisic is.
Yeah.
If it helps, I also carried the Lombardi in the Seahawks Super Bowl parade.
I had no idea who he was until about 2 hours ago. Christian Pulisic, did you know who he was?
I had heard of him, but I hadn't heard of the German guy.
Franz Beckenbauer. Happy birthday from Franz Beckenbauer.
See, I thought you were making that name up.
No,
I thought it was like... No. That was like Boris Kachakoff.
That name is made up, as is Sergei Sukhmyov. Those guys are both made up. But you never know, man. One day, who knows? Yeah, Franz Beckenbauer is, would you say, top five player all time in the history of soccer?
I would.
Yeah. But he doesn't know anything about that stuff.
No.
He doesn't know what Pele is, for crying out loud.
No.
He had Pele like number 12 on his list of the
Pele's
top
number five.
10 guys. What's next?
The only thing you are missing for Jackson's birthday is Jordan Morris saying happy birthday, Jackson.
Well, we don't want the guy to just completely collapse, right? Like, you know,
a heart attack.
Remember that? No, remember the videos of like how women would just faint when the Beatles would walk by in the 60s or Elvis Presley?
Swoon.
Yeah. He basically did that. I mean, I don't mind saying it. The guy had an orgasm when he heard the Brian Spencer video. It was unbelievable. I mean, really, you got to just, come on, man.
Yes! Yes!
A little
just a little professionalism. I mean, if we get Jordan Morris, the guy might give birth, for crying out loud.
Rui Diaz, he'd just spontaneously combust.
What happened to Jackson?
Fire.
Well, his head exploded after Nicholas Ladero wished him a happy birthday in 2021. All right, what's next?
Dick should stay off Twitter. Twitter is poisonous and Dick can't seem to handle it. How are you still outraged at Twitter, morons? Log off, big guy.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a problem that you and I both have.
Yes. That's why I try and delete the app over the weekend. I try. Sometimes I don't.
I will say that I am making great strides. I used to be daily bothered by things on Twitter, and now
every
it
other
really
day.
is a once-in-a-while type thing. And this is honestly the first thing that bothered me on Twitter for, I don't know, weeks probably. So I will say I'm making progress on that.
You just want to go find these people and just
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. You want to put your hands around their neck and just squeeze, right? Remember those dolls that you squeeze and the eyes pop out of its sockets? Back in the day, the little
My
rubber.
My dad had one of
the, whatever.
Did your dad have one of those spring things where
you grip it?
The grip strong. You know the grip strength
what
things. They were really famous. They were really popular back in like the 70s and early 80s.
Like the Jack LaLanne pump that you used to
like
increase your wrist power.
It was basically just a handle, and you'd squeeze it, and it'd pop.
Yeah.
And he would sit there in his car, and he'd drive his car with one hand, and he'd squeeze this thing with the other all the time.
You know, there is a very funny line that I could drop right here on the radio show.
But go for it.
I'm not. Well, now we know why you're named Dick, for crying out loud. Because of that pump your dad had back in the day. You told me to go for it, man.
Yeah,
you told me, hey, listen, that's on you. What's next?
I still would have bid on Jeff Nelson's bone chips if you guys would have auctioned them.
Well, we tried.
Like 5,000?
Oh, 20,000. 20 grand.
Wow.
Nelly had bone chips taken out of his elbow in 2001 or 2000, whatever year it was. And this is when the Luis Gonzalez gum craze thing was going on. When Luis Gonzalez spit his gum out and somebody tried to auction it off on eBay. And so we said, hey, bring that stuff in here and let's see what we can get for it. So we put it on eBay and the bidding was up to $20,000 for Jeff Nelson's bone chips. They were in a little plastic kind of vial, floating in water. They honestly, to describe what bone chips look like, I don't know what they feel like because I never touched them, but they look like somebody had hawked up a couple loogies into a small cup of water, just floating around. You know what I'm talking about? You guys get
so
the picture.
That gives you an indication, kids, that didn't remember the 2001 team,
yeah,
of how popular baseball was in this town.
Totally.
That a reliever on that team would get $20,000 for bone chips. I mean, could you give like Kyle Lewis's leg for $20,000?
No, but I would have paid in 2016. I would have paid like $5,000 for Jake Browning's boogers if those were available. How much would you pay for Brian Schmetzer's saliva?
Saliva?
Yeah, right now.
$5. Saliva.
Something. He's paying for spit.
Something. He's paying for spit.
It shows you how valuable that team is. You're right. And eBay yanked it off because you can't sell body parts on their website. And that
is
was technically
a body part. It's a well, part that shouldn't be in the box.
I guess it's a body
it's
part.
It's not really a body part.
Can't sell it. Can't sell it. All right, one more. One more. Go ahead.
What exactly is at stake this season for the Mariners? Ooh. I feel like no matter what happens, DePoto and Survey are going to be back next season.
Well, I'll tell you what's at stake for me is 71.5 wins. That's it. Mm-hmm. And we are 55 wins away, baby. Can they go 55 and 75 the rest
Absolutely.
Of the way? Can they
Absolutely.
Put? I mean, they could suck the rest of the way, mm-hmm. and we still get the over on the 71.5. So that's what I'm in it for me.
Texty's right though. I would be stunned if either one of those guys wasn't managing and general managing this team in April.
Oh yeah, no, stunned. I agree with you. But if they kind of put it together heading in the next year, all right, now it's time. And if they stumble out of the gates and they get to like the 1st of July or whatever, May, and the team
whack.
Is terrible. Yeah, exactly. Off with your head. Public execution in Pioneer Square. All right, we'll get a break. Hugh Millen's going to join us coming up at 5:20. What does he make of the idea of return by Sherm
today,
next? I'm telling you, I'm losing it. I've told you. What does he make of a return by Sherm coming up at 5:20 on Softy?